Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I am Matt Spiegel. He is Bruce Levine. And let's go to the guest lines and talk to a member of the Chicago Cubs, Bruce.
Absolutely. Daniel Descalzo, nice enough to take some time on a Saturday morning to join us on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Hey, you know, just from the perspective of baseball getting going early and the fans and the media, you know, remembering that it's not the NFL and that it's a long season, I'm sure you guys never panicked with a slow start, but do you understand the angst from fans and media when teams do get off to a slow start?
I mean, we get it, yeah. Everyone wants their team to get off to a good start, and, you know, it's not an ideal start for us, but it's not even April 15th yet, so we're not doing a whole lot of standings checking and scoreboard watching. We know we have a good team in here, and it's just taking us a little bit longer than we would have liked to get rolling.
I'm always interested, Daniel, in how the family dynamic led a guy to become the man he is, the ball player he is. You're the oldest of six kids from your family, right?
That's correct.
Were some of them ball players too? Were you the model for them as a ball player?
I mean, we all were pretty active in sports growing up. My parents took a big interest in our extracurricular activities. Dad coached a lot of us in baseball, softball, basketball, soccer. You know, you name the season, they were out there supporting us. So, you know, they definitely pushed us to get involved outside of school and stuff. And you know, I tried to set a good example for the rest of the kids coming behind me.
And he was an ace starting pitcher in high school for 3 years, Bruce. He's pitched before in the bigs. We're going to see him on a mound this year, don't you think?
I hope not.
Have you pitched in the big leagues yet?
I pitched five times in the big leagues. I had retired nine in a row until I had to pitch in Denver last year.
Uh-oh. So
now my ERA is a little tainted.
Hey, the elevation there, though, man, that's not on you.
That's not a good place to pitch.
Daniel Descalzo joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Daniel, the reinventing of oneself and the paying attention to what it takes to stay in the major leagues after having a good career, it was interesting for me to follow you and kind of the way you've changed your hitting approach, and you know, it's consistent with what's going on in baseball. Can you talk a little bit about that and you know, sustaining a good play for a player like yourself?
Sure. You know, in 2015, I was really struggling. Worst year of my career. Just felt like if I wanted to stick around in the big leagues, you know, I was going to have to try something different. You know, just watching other players and you know, how their swings were, you know, driving the ball better. And, you know, I just felt like there was something more in the tank in my swing, and I was looking for ways to unlock it. So, you know, I just did a deep dive watching video, you know, scouring the internet, you know, and ended up concluding that I needed to get on plane a little sooner, give myself a little bit more margin for error, try to drive the ball, you know, into the gaps by swinging, you know, slightly up instead of swinging down on it. And, you know, I've just been constantly trying to get better over the last few years and have been able to sustain those better numbers.
And it was a determining factor for sure for the Chicago Cubs when they went after you and signed you in the offseason. So from that perspective, I'm sure hopefully other young players are paying attention to that. I know it's not an easy dynamic to accomplish, but nonetheless, seems like it's gone well for you.
Yeah, you know, the last couple of years, I've been a lot more productive for me in terms of, you know, power output, doubles, walks have gone up, you know, along with strikeouts. But, you know, I've been getting on base more. I feel like I've been having better at-bats. I've been able to stick to my approach better, lay off those tough pitchers' pitches, and put myself in more advantageous counts.
As so many guys around the game, Daniel, are learning some of the things you've learned and starting to swing that way over the past few years, we've seen pitchers respond, right, with high fastballs and curves coming in that same kind of tunnel. Is that how pitchers attack you trying to deal with the angle and shape of your swing?
Well, I don't think my shape and angle is too drastic. You know, you still have to be able to adjust to the way pitchers are pitching you. You can't just go up there with one swing. You have to be able to, if a guy's attacking you with high fastballs, maybe you have to flatten out a little bit and think a little more on top and aim a little higher on the baseball. You know, it just depends on the certain pitcher. But, you know, if you get into a good count where, you know, he's got to challenge you with a fastball and he makes a mistake, you know, with something you can drive, then you should be able to handle that. But you still have to be able to adjust to the way pitchers are pitching. You can't just go up there and thinking they're going to throw the ball, you know, right down the middle into your swing path.
Daniel, looking at the mid-range player or the player who hopes to have a 7 to 10 year career and that has to grind every day, you know, a player like yourself who's already had a very good career, how do you look at the signings for some of the big name guys and the younger guys in the game over the last 2 months, and how that will impact the median player in baseball as time goes on and we get closer to a new plan between the players and the owners after 2021?
Well, it does seem like that middle of the road player, that 30, 31, 32 year old free agent is sort of getting marginalized and pushed out. You know, they see the maybe decline in performance or decline in physical fitness, whatever, at that point in your life. So they're not willing to give out those multiple year deals or even 1 year deals to those type of players. But you know, for me, I think I was fortunate that the best years of my career have come recently. So I was able to, you know, sign with a winning organization for a couple of years. So, you know, we'll see. That's kind of the way the game's going right now, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do at this point.
Do you feel there's a possibility that owners are trying to separate the big contract guys from the median players as we approach 2021? Or is that too far-fetched thinking ahead like that?
I mean, I can't speak for the owners. That's far above my pay grade.
Right.
You know, I'm just here trying to help the Cubs win games, trying to be impactful any way that I can.
He's Daniel Descalso, one of the newest Chicago Cubs. So, you know, for decades we've heard about the Cardinals' way and just how they seem to build very smart all-around players. Maybe you were that already, coming from UC Davis, a really, really good college career. But were you conscious of an organizational philosophy throughout the Cardinals as you came up drafted in 2007? Was there a manual? Did they hand you a book and say this is the Cardinals' way?
Contrary to popular belief, I never received a physical manual or a handbook that said that this is the Cardinal way. I think they do a really good job, and they did a really good job over there of drafting players, you know, and just identifying like a winning type player that had good skill set along with, you know, that winning mindset, that winning mentality, guys that were going to work hard, not be deterred by maybe some failures. But they definitely instilled winning as an important attribute. You know, coming up through the minor leagues, they valued winning minor league championships and playing in those minor league playoff games. Even though it was the minor leagues, they felt like that if you've played in some meaningful games down there, that when you do get to the big leagues, maybe, you know, that the pressure won't be as much or won't be as big of a leap. So, you know, I think they emphasize winning, the attention to detail, a lot of history over there with guys like, you know, George Kissel, you know, teaching the fundamentals from way back. And, you know, they just put a lot of value on winning and winning baseball.
Hey, Daniel, when you talked about your swing and having different kinds of swings, and as you talk about being the kind of player that you learned how to be, boy, I think that what the Cubs want is everybody to have that kind of approach at the plate, right? That maybe you look to drive a ball, but when there's two strikes, you change up a little bit and hit situationally, go to that B swing. Is that something you guys talk about as a team?
Well, I just think it's you have to be able to make adjustments. From pitch to pitch, from a bat to a bat, from pitcher to pitcher out there, you know, you can't just go up there trying to do the same thing every time, just because there's a variety of situations that come up during the game, different pitchers you're going to face. So, you know, maybe you have to shorten up against one guy, maybe you have to look in different spots against other guys. It's just, you know, knowing yourself, knowing your swing, knowing what the guy on the mound is going to try to do to you, knowing the catcher behind the plate, if you got some experience against him, how he likes to call pitches against you. It's just that chess match and having a plan and being able to execute that plan and stick to that plan throughout the at-bat and throughout the game.
Daniel, in closing with me, and Matt and I really appreciate your time today. I know you got to get to work here very quickly. How many different gloves do you bring to a game? How many different types of in pregame activities go out there and take grounders and throws from the different positions to be ready?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I was hurt during the last few weeks of spring training, so I didn't get to bounce around to as many positions as I normally do to get ready for the season. But, you know, I've got my glove for second, a little bigger one for third. I have an outfield glove, and then I've got a first base glove too. So I've got four that come with me to the ballpark that could be used on a moment's notice.
How do you get that arm extended out?
What's that?
How do you get that arm extended out for every position?
Oh, you know, I play long toss. You know, I always have had a pretty strong arm, so I try to just, you know, you can get caught when you play second too much, just flipping balls over to first base. So I try to bounce over to third and just make sure that, you know, I keep my arm strength up by throwing some across the diamond every once in a while.
Thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it, and have a great day. We'll see you out at the ballpark.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Daniel. Daniel Descalzo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.